The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome back to the Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley. Just to say that we've had a response to my question at the start of the program. Do you remember about how long you have to start, what time you have to get into Mass to fulfill your obligation? Well, Mary H. has texted in. Mary, good morning to you and thank you for your text. And she says, hi, Kevin. I was always taught that you needed to be able to hear the gospel and stay through communion. However, I was also told that if you missed the gospel and read it yourself, you were okay. Good. I hope that's correct, Mary, and thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to remember you now in this Divine Mercy Chaplet. The other strange thing, and I didn't think about this until I was speaking to Claire McHugh, who we just had on the show speaking about Grand Duchess Elizabeth, who came on the show because of what I was speaking about Grand Elizabeth on Friday. Well, the story I have for you after the Divine Mercy is about a very, very good friend of mine who is on our November dead list, who died last year. But she also happened to be a film star. I'll tell you more about this in the next segment. And she appeared in a film about Rasputin. So it's all starting to connect up. So you're not going to want to miss that in the next segment. But now we turn, as always, to prayer. And this is an opportunity, as you heard in the bumper there, that you can call in on 888-928-0881 with a prayer request. And it can be about something major for yourself or for a loved one, or it can be something minor. Something small, but something that needs sorting out today. We are the SOS of prayer lines. We are your emergency service when it comes to divine intervention. We're here to pray for you. And if you haven't got time or the energy or the disposition to phone in, you can text in on 251-928-2111. And we will be very glad to pray for you. So, Mike, who have we got as prayer partners today?
Yes, we have Shannon Garner and her daughter, Charlie, who are in with us today. And we also have a guest named Joy who is with us on the line. So whoever you want to go to first, would you like to?
Well, I think we'll start with what do you think, Shannon and Charlie? I think should we take the call first then we'll come back to your intentions?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay, Mike.
We have Joy on the line. Joy, you're on the line with Kevin Turley on the Turley Frequency. State your prayers, please.
Hi, Kevin. This is Julie.
And Julie, I'm sorry.
Julie, that's okay.
Pleasure to meet you, Julie. And where are you calling us from?
Thank you. Calling from Daphne.
Daphne, wonderful. Uh-huh. So who have you got for us that we can pray for? What have you got?
We'd like you to pray for our dear friend and loved one, Suzanne. She's a parishioner of Christ the King, and she was hospitalized this weekend. And we're asking for prayers for her complete healing and recovery.
That sounds like a very, very good prayer. Well, Julie, you have it. That's going to be our first decade, and we're going to get everybody here in the studio that's praying. I'm praying, and anybody that's listening that's praying with us, we are going to be praying for Suzanne, who's currently in hospital, I guess. Is she at the moment?
Yes. She's in the hospital.
Okay. Well, look, she's in Christ the King Parish. What a great parish to be in, right, at this time of year, okay? I mean, if we can't get something out of our Divine Mercy Chaplet today, we're going to go home, okay? So don't worry. Okay. Suzanne, if you're listening, we are going to be praying for you. Have faith, trust in Jesus. We're trusting in him. We're trusting in the Divine Mercy. And thanks to the good offices of your friend Julie and the other parishioners at Christ the King, we are going to move heaven and earth to get you out of that hospital, back on your feet, for Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Is that all right,
Julie? Thank you so much. Yes.
No
that's
problem.
Wonderful.
And listen, Julie, call again. Call again. No problems are too small, too big. We're very, very glad to pray for you and anybody else you know.
Thank you.
Okay, so I better introduce Shannon and Charlie. Shannon and Charlie, the mother and daughter prayer team, prayer warriors who have joined us this afternoon. Shannon, where have you and Charlie come from today?
We live in Fairhope.
You live in Fairhope. That's wonderful. And is this your first time on the radio, Shannon?
It is not.
I thought that. I could hear the voice of a professional there, I thought, for a moment. What about you, Charlie? Is this your first time on the radio?
No.
No? Wow. You're a professional as well. Maybe I'm the one that's the least experienced here of the three of us, which suits me down to the ground. You two can lead the way. Okay, listen, I'm going to come back to both you, Shannon, and you, Charlie, for the next decades ahead. But we've got work to do with Suzanne. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
We've got to help this woman. So I'm guessing both of you are well-versed in saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
We are.
And you've got your rosaries at the ready.
Yes.
You know, during the break, I suddenly discovered I didn't have my rosary on me. And I rushed out to find it, and Mike was trying to get hold of me, and he couldn't. I was rushing around looking for my rosary. I don't know what. Is it just me, or is it you as well? If I don't have my rosary on me, I feel a bit naked.
Yeah. Yeah, like something's missing for sure.
Absolutely. What about you, Charlie? Do you find that if you don't have your rosary on you, you're not really armed and ready?
Yeah.
Locked and loaded. What about you, Shannon? You carry your rosary?
I carry it in my purse.
Yeah, yeah. It's just you know, it's like we're in a spiritual warfare, and this is like my sidearm. Do you know what I mean? I got to go out with it at all times. Okay. Well, look, let's begin at the beginning then. And make the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then, ladies, if we could say together this prayer three times. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hours of death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, so this decade, this first decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we're sent for Suzanne, who's in hospital at the moment, hospitalized at the weekend. But she's from Christ the King Parish, and we celebrated the great feast of Christ the King yesterday. So we are very, very confident in asking for God's mercy upon Suzanne. And we pray that Suzanne will be out of hospital in time for Thanksgiving, and that she will have a wonderful Thanksgiving because of that, because she's had this slight detour into the local hospital. And we'll also pray for Julie. Julie, your great friend who's phoned up and asked for these intentions. Julie didn't ask for anything, so we pray for her as well, Lord. We ask that whatever Julie's carrying in her heart, any troubles, any difficulties, any anxieties or worries, that you calm her, Lord, and that you help her at this time. Okay, Shannon and Charlie, we'll begin. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is great. So thank you, Shannon and Charlie. Now, I'm turning to you first, Shannon. If you could give us any intentions that you're bringing with you today.
I would just like to pray for all those who'll be traveling this week and for those who don't have anybody to be with this Thanksgiving.
You're reminding me of that film. Do you remember the one? Is it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yes.
Are you thinking of that sort of character?
That didn't pop into my mind until you said that, but that's a holiday classic, I believe.
Yeah, but somebody would know where to go. And, that, you know, you're right. Times like Thanksgiving and Christmas can be extremely lonely periods for certain people. You know, it's a time when, I don't know what it's like in the States for Thanksgiving. I'm assuming it's like Christmas when the advertising kicks into overdrive and suddenly everybody is having a wonderful time except you. Or that's how it feels. So it's a nice prayer, Shannon, at this time for the safety of people traveling, lots of people going to their families and loved ones. We pray for those that are traveling on roads, on trains, on planes, any mules, whatever way you're traveling. We're praying that it's safe and your Holy angels watch over you in that. But we also pray for those that feel loneliness at this time, and we pray that that somehow their hearts are touched. If you're listening to this, well, we pray for you in a very special way, that loneliness, that you know that you're not alone. We're none of us are alone. We're always surrounded by our holy angels and the guardian saints, and by God's love. And it's just there. And the other thing which we've been looking at this month, because we're thinking about the dead and the faithful departed, I think I quoted one of the saints, I think it was Padre Pio, who while he was praying, he was very aware that there was a holy soul who was doing his penance in the loft of the chapel where he was praying. So it makes you think that maybe the holy souls are closer to us than we think. And this is a good time to offer up our suffering for them, try and empty purgatory during this time. So wonderful intention, Shannon. Shannon and Charlie, shall we pray the second decade?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is great. Now, Charlie, if you don't mind, before I come to you, we have a message in, a text in, just in, and it's pretty urgent, so I think I'll read it out to you. It says, please pray for my cousin Lila. She went into the hospital early this morning with chest pains from a blood clot. And that prayer request comes in from her cousin Tim. That sounds like a very serious situation, and we are very, very happy to pray for your cousin Lila in hospital this morning. We pray that those chest pains subside And we pray that whatever that blood clot is, that it's dealt with by the medical people there, and that Lila is restored. If it's God's will, she's restored to health and to fitness. And that just like we were praying for Suzanne earlier, we pray that Lila will be returned to her family and friends for Thanksgiving in the coming days. So Shannon and Charlie, shall we pray the third mystery?
Yes.
No, you got to keep me right, you know, because sometimes I forget which mystery we're on. I get so involved in all of this. So I think it's the third one, isn't it?
Yes.
Good, good. Okay. So let's begin. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, ladies. That is great. Okay, Charlie, we're turning to you now. I hope that you have come with a saddle bag full of intentions. Can I just ask, Charlie, how old are you?
9.
Wow, 9. That's great. And you're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 9. That's great. You know, I have to admit, Charlie, when I was 9, I don't think I said many prayers. I mean, we said a few prayers at school and, you know, on a Sunday, but I wouldn't have known the Divine Mercy Chaplet if it hit me between the eyes. Who do you want us to pray for today, Charlie, or what do you want us to pray for?
Well, I want to pray for my friend Ellie, who was in the hospital.
Yeah. Is it something serious that she's in for, Charlie?
Well, she had, like, some trouble breathing.
Oh, dear. When did that happen? Is that recent?
Yeah.
Have you been to visit her?
Well, she's out of the hospital now.
Oh, and she's recovering, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll pray that Ellie will recover fully and get back to her old strength again.
Yes, sir.
Is Ellie one of your closest friends?
Well, she's not like one of my closest friends, but she's one of my good friends.
Okay. You know, we've just been speaking about Grand Duchess Elizabeth, who was known to her family as Ellie as well. And she's a saint in the Orthodox Church, a very holy woman, a very beautiful woman who became a great saint. So maybe you can ask her to pray for Ellie as well. Anybody else, Charlie, that you've got in mind?
Not right now.
Not right now. Do you want to pray for your parents?
Sure.
Who are they?
Shannon and Josh.
Yeah, I guessed it was Shannon and Josh. That's great. It's always good to pray for your parents, you know. I mean, you know, you don't miss them till they're gone. Both my parents are dead now, Charlie, and I miss them. Miss them a lot. And, it's, you know, there's the little things, you know, that you just remember. You just want to share with them, you know, those little things. So really value your parents, you know. Parents and children, you can have the odd argument, of course, the odd disagreement. That's the nature of the thing. But listen, there's nobody who loves you more than your parents, honestly, Charlie. And Shannon, you sound like you've got a great mother there. Okay, Charlie, so shall we say this is the fourth decade, isn't it, Charlie?
Yes.
Wonderful. So we're going to pray for Ellie and her ongoing recovery. We'll pray for Shannon and Josh. May they grow in love of each other and their children. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Shannon. And thank you, Meg. Now, we've got another message that's just been texted in, and I'm going to read it out. Please pray for Jeanette, a sweet friend, who is expecting her first, I presume that's her first child, and all other women expecting children, especially as we enter the Advent season next week. That's an anonymous texter in, and I think it's a beautiful prayer for Jeanette. We will indeed pray for Jeanette. Doesn't say when Jeanette's due. It could be today, it could be next week, it could be next month. But also any women who are listening who are pregnant, who are carrying life within them. It's such a wonderful vocation to be a mother. I'm sure you'd agree, Shannon.
Yes.
Very special time, no doubt.
It is.
Yeah. And also, every time that I hear that sort of mother's testimony, I'm struck by the great image, the great American image, which is very popular in Europe as well, which is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Because as you all know, Our Lady is pregnant in that image. She is with child, as Jeanette is. And we ask as well for the intercession of Jeanne d'Arc, St. Joan of Arc, who Jeanette is a patron of. Oh, she's the patron of Jeanette. Okay, so we're going to pray for that. Now, is this our last decade? It is, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, wow. So we better pray for the November dead list as well. Now, I have, as you, well, you may not know, Shannon and Charlie, we've been, Mike and I have been compiling this list of people to pray for, the faithful departed during this month of November, when we Catholics in particular pray and remember our faithful departed. And we don't just remember them in the sort of secular sense. We also pray for them and pray that they will enter heaven. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for nothing less. We're not praying that they have a nice day. We're praying that they go to their eternal reward. They enter into the joy of heaven, the great happiness of heaven that we all long for. So turning to you first, Shannon, is there anybody that you would like us to add to this list, faithful departed?
I'd like to add my grandparents, AC in Florence, and my husband's grandmother, Mona.
Mona. Okay, they're added to it. I, at the weekend, somebody contacted me and asked for their uncle to be added in, Freddie Clovis. So we'll pray for Freddie as well. So if it's okay, ladies, what I'll do is I'll read out this list, which we have here, which is getting ever longer. And that's the way it should be. And then we will pray for them. So on our November dead list, we have Billy Langford, Aaron, Finn Baylock, Albert Reynolds, Jan Reynolds, Jude, Archie, Humberto, Ellen's grandparents and lineage, Mary, Thomas, Catherine, and William. We have Barry, we have Catherine Scott, we have Raquel, we have Jaime Castanon and all the deceased members of the Castanon family. We have David Walsh, Bill Keenan, Ralph Gretton, John Henry, Father Jeremy Davis, recently deceased, Brendan Metcalf, Alan Montgomery, Frank Kelly, Father Dick Stork, Frank Johnson, Pedro Ballester, Leo Dolan, Barbara Shelley, and all souls with no one to pray for them as requested by James Rudder. We have Jenny Carr's deceased friends and relatives. We have Bea's deceased friends and relatives, and Bob Kelly's friends and deceased relatives. And we also have Mike's deceased friends and relatives, especially Teresa. And we pray also for Father John MacDonald and Father Joseph Gabbiola, for Evelyn Cash, Uncle Dale, Joseph Farrell, for Dora, for Lander, Joanne Campbell and John Campbell, Freddie Clovis, and for Athey, Florence, and Mona. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Okay, shall we say this final decade?
Yeah.
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, ladies. And now we conclude repeating three times the end prayer. Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus, I trust in you. O my Jesus, I trust in you. O my Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shannon and Charlie, thank you so much for coming on today and helping me pray.
Thank you for having us.
Charlie, I hope you will come back with your mother sometime.
Well, I hope to. I hope so too.
You've got an open invitation. It was great meeting you both. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to tell you the story of a famous film star who became a friend and also acted in a film about Rasputin. Back after these words.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome back to, yes indeed, Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio, broadcasting on 1410 AM and 94.5 FM and on all sorts of good streaming devices around the world across the state of Alabama. It's great to be with you on this wonderful Monday. I think we're going to go on a mission now to turn Monday into the best day of the week. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. Did you know that today is National Say Hello Day? Did you know that, Mike?
I did not know that.
You never even said hello.
No. Sorry, Kevin. Hello. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday.
So it's still time when you can phone in and do your duty on National Say Hello Day. You can still phone in today on 888-928-0881, though I understand if the moment has passed. Isn't it great to pray together, though?
It is.
I think it's just such a powerful prayer. People, look, we're working on Scripture here. Scripture says where two or three people are gathered in His name. Well, we've got more than two or three gathered, and we are praying for specific intentions, whether it's Suzanne in hospital, Ilya in hospital, or Ellie coming out of hospital, or Ellie coming out of hospital and getting better. Why not? Why not use these riches that are here, these spiritual riches, which are at your disposal? You know, it's not going to cost you anything. I don't know what a text costs these days, virtually nothing for most of us because we're all on some sort of plan, right? So you can text in. And the text machine, whatever they call it these days, is available 24/7. You don't even have to text in when we're on air. 251-928-2111. And if you text in now, I will deal with your prayer tomorrow. We'll pray for it tomorrow. Just to let you know, we're on air Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but because it's Thanksgiving and you're all off Thanksgiving, this week we will not be on air Thursday or Friday. I have to say, Thanksgiving is a little bit of a mystery to us this side of the Atlantic. We kind of get it. We understand why you're doing it. Something to do with the Pilgrim Fathers, Mayflower, and turkeys, you know, it's not something we celebrate over here, not yet anyway. We've taken most of the American customs, but not Thanksgiving.
Do you have anything similar? Do you have anything similar over there?
Well, I think, I mean, the only thing approximate is Christmas.
Okay.
Which fair is, enough. I mean, and we have the same, I mean, Shannon's prayers for people traveling and sure. Nowhere to go and all that is exactly the same at Christmas. So in the run up to Christmas, we have this endless, and our Christmas here tends to go on for nearly 2 weeks because we have New Year's as well. And nobody does any work in between. It's impossible to get anything done. So we have a very, very long period of, I was going to say celebration. But in most instances, probably cabin fever for 2 weeks, locked up, waiting to get out and get back to normal life. But for anybody who's celebrating Thanksgiving this week, then the theme this week is one of Thanksgiving. So today we are thanking God for Mondays, thanking God for all the gifts of each day. Look, every single day has its stresses and strains. Lord knows we know that. You only have to be a human being to know that there's difficulties each day. Who doesn't have difficulties of one sort or another? But at least we can pray about it. At least we can come together. But also we need to encourage each other. You know, despondency and even despair, these are not Christian attributes. We need to look at things through the light of faith. And as long as we have Jesus, as long as we have Mary, as long as we have St. Joseph and our guardian angels, you know, we're ready. We're ready for anything that this world can throw at us. Now, it's a really happy coincidence that we were talking to Claire McHugh and she was talking about Ella as Grand Duchess Elizabeth. And we talked about Grand Duchess Elizabeth on Friday. And as you know, Grand Duchess Elizabeth was martyred by the Bolsheviks, part of their Russian Revolution. And if you were listening to Claire and I's discussion, you'll realize that we were discussing the impact that Rasputin had upon the Romanov dynasty. Rasputin was a kind of crazed faux mystic. I don't think he was a mystic. If he was a mystic, I think it was the dark arts, not the light. Strange character who seemed to mesmerize the Russian empress to disastrous effect. Now, why am I talking about Rasputin? Well, many years later, a British film company called Hammer Films, you may have heard of them, Hammer Films, they produced lots of horror movies in the 1950s and 60s. They produced a film called Rasputin. And one of the female star was Barbara Shelley. Now, Barbara became a friend of mine, and I want to tell you really how we met, because it was kind of bizarre. So I grew up watching these Hammer horror films, okay? Yes, I know. Well, anyway, look, for another day, another discussion. But Hammer movies, the older ones, there is a lot of maybe gore in the sense of ketchup in them, but they were quite Christian films. You know, the Draculas and so forth were always vanquished by the cross, and there was lots of holy water being fired around. This is before they went more explicit in other departments. So Barbara was part of that world. So I'd obviously watched Barbara in films, grew up watching her, film star, you know, all the rest of it. And then about 10, 12 years ago, my wife and I, we moved to this part of London. We'd been living in South London. We moved to North London. And totally out of the blue one day, I got a telephone call. It was for my wife, but she wasn't around. And I picked up the phone. It was somebody who I vaguely knew. I'd met her at least once, I think. She was one of those people that you sort of met at prayer events and stuff. But I wouldn't say I knew her. She probably knew my wife a little bit better, but not much better. Anyway, she said, you know, was my wife there? I said, no. And then she started chatting. Now, my wife was going to Lourdes on a pilgrimage with the Westminster Diocese, which is the London Diocese. And this woman was wanting to ask for assistance with somebody who was traveling. Now, when people travel to Lourdes from Britain or Ireland, it's normally a combination of able-bodied people and people who are infirm in some way or who need assistance, elderly or disabled or whatever. So they need assistance. So, and sometimes people are paired with other people or elderly people maybe have somebody traveling with them, you know, the sort of thing. So she was asking me about this person. And she was saying, so this person on the end of the phone was saying, are you going to me? And I said, well, I wasn't going, no. And she said, oh, that's a shame. And I said, why is that? She said, well, I've got this friend who needs assistance. And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm sure you can find somebody. And she says, yes, but she doesn't want to be recognized. And I said, oh, why is that? She said, well, she used to be quite famous. And I said, really? She said, you won't have heard of her. I said, really? And I said, well, was she? What was she doing? She says she was in films years ago. I said, well, I love old films. You know, I'm really into old films. I'm sure I've heard of her. Who is she? So she told me her name, Barbara Shelley. I said, of course I know who she is. She says, well, she's recently come back to the faith. Yeah, Catholic faith. And she wants to go on a pilgrimage to Lourdes and she needs assistance. And I said, well, I can't go, but I'd love to meet her. And she said, well, maybe you will one day, but she doesn't really like the publicity. She doesn't really want people to know too much about her, you know, typical sort of film star, I guess. So she said, well, she lives in your part of the world and she goes to one of the parishes around here. So anyway, the conversation ended and, my wife went on the trip to Lourdes. I don't know if she met her. I can't remember. I don't think she did. She didn't knowingly meet her. But this planted a seed in my mind that somewhere in these Catholic parishes, and I have about three or four near me, very near me, which is great because I can get to Mass quite easily. But in one of them was this film star recently come back to the faith. Now, this, you know, was... you know, so I would go to this parish, which I vaguely, I wondered which parish she was in, and I didn't know which one it was. And I remember looking at photographs of her online, which were when she was a younger woman and a glamorous film star. And I kept thinking, I wonder what she looks like today. Couldn't work it out. So this went on for quite a while, right? And thought nothing of it. Anyway, one of the parishes is called St. Joseph's. And I used to go to Mass there quite regularly. And there was always an elderly woman who used to come and sit right in front of me, right? And I noticed her because she had one of those little buggies, you know, to sort of steady her as she was walking along. And she was a rather tall woman and she'd sit down. And occasionally she would tell the kids to be a bit quiet or whatever, you know, she was, you know, good sort of solid figure, but she was absolutely faithful and sat in front of me. And I thought nothing of it. Anyway, years went past and I gave up hope of ever meeting this film star. And I thought it'd be nice to have met her just to say hi. That's all. Cause you know, I like those films and I'd like to meet her and welcome her back to the church. Anyway, one day I was leaving St. Joseph's and somebody who I knew in St. Joseph's said, oh, have you spoken to Barbara? I said, no, who's Barbara? She said, that woman up there. You know, she used to be a film star. And it suddenly dawned on me that Barbara had been sitting in front of me for years, right? That she'd actually been sitting in front of me. So I noticed her heading off to the parish tea room after Mass for a cup of coffee or whatever. And I thought, well, I better go and introduce myself. So I went and had a chat with her. And she was absolutely amazed that somebody of my age knew who she was. I mean, I did tell her that I was watching these films when I was quite young and sitting up late at night watching them. And I knew who she was and I knew all about Hammer films and stuff. And she was very, I think she was quite interested in that. But I remember we had this great chat And she was, I mean, she was quite elderly at that point, but still very much alive, a very vital sort of person mentally. Physically, she was a little bit infirm. She, you know, she got around, but she was... So I'll never forget then, she said, we had this great chat after Mass. And she said, well, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I think I said to her, I'm off to the cinema as it goes this afternoon. She said to me, can I come with you? And I thought, really? And she said, yeah. She said, what are you going to see? And I told her what I was going to see. And she said, I'd love to see that. Can we go? And I said, fine. So we both jumped on the bus and headed off because she couldn't walk. We headed off into wherever we were going to. And I remember sitting watching this film thinking, I'm sitting now in a cinema with a movie star watching this film. And I never expected that at the start of the day. Anyway, we became quite good friends after that. And she met my wife and she got on very well with my wife. And my wife used to help her, you know, physically. She used to help her around her house and sometimes take her to Mass and things like that. And but there was a part of Barbara which, you know, gradually started to unfold over a period of time, her story, really, because by then she was just one of those sweet old ladies that you meet in the parish, you know, and she was great fun and full of life and very, very devout. This was the thing. But anyway, as it turned out, COVID came, and although she didn't die of it, her whole movement, etc., was restricted, and Barbara had to go into hospital, something she absolutely hated doing. And she died on January 4th, 2021, and she was aged 88. Yeah, 88 years old. She had had a great life. So during the 60s, she was what was known as a scream queen. Scream queen. You have to put your teeth in for that. So there's screen queens and there's scream queens. And in Hammer, it was screen queens. Let me try again. Scream queens. So she was a sort of a part of the Hammer Studios acting repertoire. And she was there to add glamour, I guess, to the rather grisly proceedings. I mean, she was never a household name, but she was a recognizable face. And anybody who was an aficionado of those type of films would have definitely known who Barbara Shelley was. I once asked her what was her favorite on-screen moment in her acting. And she said it was in the 1966 film Dracula, Prince of Darkness. Yeah, she's in that with Christopher Lee. And she plays a vampire. She's expiring. I think she's a stake goes into her heart. And but she saw it very much as an actress. I mean, she was very serious about her craft. And she said to me that she felt that in that scene, the yearning sadness of the undead was on display. That said, there was nothing sad about Barbara in real life. She was to her very end an endless wealth of stories, great stories, some of which could be repeated, many of which could not be repeated, about her time in Hollywood, at Hammer Studios and elsewhere. But she had this wonderful quality of pomposity puncturing wit. She'd talk about film stars or movie directors that she'd worked with who are quite well known, and she was able to point out their foibles with a lot of humor. These people were just human like everybody else, and she knew it. I mean, her film career had commenced long before she ever ended up at Hammer Studios, which was one of the film studios around London. In fact, her start in cinema had come by chance. Because she left her native London, she grew up not far from St. Joseph's Parish. She left that to work as a fashion model in Rome. And I'm sure she was very successful because she was a very striking, very beautiful woman. And while working there as a model, she was, like in the best films almost, she was spotted by a film producer, an Italian film producer. And soon after, she was cast in non-speaking parts in various productions in Italy. So by the end of the 1950s, she was not only fluent in Italian, she had a great ability to master language. I mean, absolutely fluent in Italian. I remember the first restaurant I went with her to was an Italian restaurant. And it was a restaurant she knew. She spoke to all the staff there in Italian, and they loved her. And they treated her like she was some sort of countessa. It was wonderful. But she graduated quite quickly from these kind of bit parts to slightly more larger parts, even in Italian cinema. So she came back to England in the late 50s, at a time when the British film industry was expanding. And throughout the late 50s and early 60s, she was really a rising star, especially in a certain type of genre. She appeared a lot on television as well, in programs like The Saint and The Avengers and all these famous 1960s television serials. She's in them all. You come across them on YouTube and such like. But it was really her involvement with Hammer Horror in the late 50s and 60s that made her the star that she became. And thereafter, she was identified more with that genre and indeed with that studio. And during those years, she'd end up in films like Dracula. And then she'd be in Quatermass in the Pit, if anybody's seen that, which is about extraterrestrials in a London Underground tube station. And then Rasputin the Mad Monk, made in 1966. She appeared in that too. And she used to talk very, very funnily about all these shows, because you might think that she had a rather macabre or morbid sense of, because she was appearing in all these horror movies. In fact, she was the opposite. She would tell you hilarious stories about how her and the cast and the other stars would be laughing and joking and constantly having a great time while filming. She said she enjoyed every moment of her time on screen and off screen. And she likened working at Hammer Studios as akin to being part of a large family with a good canteen to boot, she said. And she made some real lasting and genuine friendships with film stars such as Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And she would speak very fondly of these men. She would also talk about how everybody involved in that genre, especially the stars, felt very much typecast. She felt it as well a bit, that once they had become stars in those genres in those days, it was very hard to get work outside of it. So by the late 1960s, cinema in general, and British cinema in particular, was heading in an ever more violent and sexually explicit direction. And I remember her saying to me that was not a direction that she cared to go in. She said that it would be, she wouldn't want her father to see something on television that somebody would refer to that he wouldn't be proud of. So at a time when standards in the British film industry were falling, Barbara resolutely retained hers, which meant that throughout the 1970s, her work began to dry up, essentially, especially on television and stage. She got random work, but there was nothing particularly noteworthy. Saying that, she became a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company between 1975 and 1977. This was a serious actress. This was an actress who really understood acting and loved it, loved her craft, even when she wasn't practicing it in her later years. She used to talk about actors and acting in a way which was both insightful and affectionate. She never disdained her craft. In fact, she had a great, great admiration for it. By the close of the 1980s, however, though, her acting career was effectively over. So that was the very public side of Barbara. But who was she behind that? Well, as I say, she wasn't born Barbara Shelley. Her name was Cowan, Barbara Cowan, and she was born in Hammersmith, which is in West London, but her family eventually settled not far from where I'm speaking to you today, not very far from St. Joseph's Parish. The reason that they went there was because her father had had an industrial injury, an accident at work, and had been given a fair degree of compensation, which enabled the family to buy a house not far from St. Joseph's Parish, and there she was to stay all her life. She was there living in that same house, up to her short period in hospital and her final death. So other than times working abroad, that was where she would return to, and she would live there quite happily with her parents. And her upbringing, she was to state later, continued to be the guiding light throughout her life. She spoke very, very fondly of her parents, and very, very fondly of the sort of values that they and her grandparents instilled in her. You can imagine it was the sense of hard work and duty and doing the right thing by people. They were good Catholic people, and she was a good Catholic girl. And this she retained right up to the end. She spoke quite movingly of her childhood years, because that was the years when London and Britain was at war. And she spoke, she remembered particularly the Blitz, the London Blitz, when places like near where she lived would have been subject to Luftwaffe attacks. And she would recollect standing with her father, watching these aerial assaults and the burning city in the distance, lighting the night sky over London. But by the end of the Second World War, it wasn't London that was on fire, she was. And it all happened by accident. When I say she was on fire for acting. And it all came about by accident. I once said to her, "Barbara, how did you know that you wanted to be an actress?" And she said, "By accident. You see, there was a school play on, and she wasn't particularly interested in being in the school play, but somehow by accident, she ended up getting a part or having to fill in for somebody who didn't turn up." And she described to me, and I can still remember her saying this, she described to me the moment she stepped on that stage. And she felt the attention of the audience. She felt the power of her own words going out to that audience. And she said to me, she knew after that moment on stage what her life calling was. And she never doubted it for a moment afterwards. And it was a calling. She saw it very much as a calling. Now, what's very interesting, however, though, perhaps like a number of people of that generation, Barbara never trained as an actress. She never had any acting lessons, which, given her performance later on screen, is quite remarkable. She has a very, very distinctive screen presence. And she's good. She's a good actress, and I'm not just saying that because she was a friend. But she had no training. But she was absolutely faithful to the calling that she felt to be a movie star, to be an actress. Now, she was modest about her talents. But it was clear to any of us that had watched her that she possessed an instinctive grasp of what worked on screen and what didn't. Likewise, in later life, she would often insist that while a starring actress, she never thought of herself as beautiful. When again, it was apparent to many that the film camera had only enhanced her natural good looks. There's an old saying that some people the camera loves and some of them it does not love. I have seen very beautiful people who on camera don't, their beauty does not come through. I've seen other people who look pretty ordinary in normal life become quite beautiful on screen. It's a weird, weird way in which the camera, the mystery of the camera lens, will pick up some people and drop other people. In Barbara's case, as I say, the camera loved Barbara. Now, unfortunately, Barbara never married. She fell in love with an actor, Jeff Chandler, you may have heard of, quite a famous actor in the 1960s, totally forgotten now. They met together on the set of a film called A Story of David. But Jeff shortly after died as a result of a bungled medical operation. She never married after that, and she would talk about him as the love of her life. I remember visiting her house once, and she still had a picture of him framed on a cabinet. Jeff Chandler. Now, as I said at the start, she was brought up a very devout Catholic, and during the last years of her life, Barbara returned very much to the practice of her childhood faith. In fact, she attended daily Mass at St. Joseph's and went on pilgrimage to Lourdes and other places, and was a very devout person. In fact, if you ever went into St. Joseph's at any time of the day, you would often find her in there alone in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying the rosary. This deepening of her faith seemed to put all else in perspective. So much so that by the end, you had to coax Barbara to actually speak about her former very glamorous career. She was more interested in talking about the Holy Rosary or talking about our Lord in the Eucharist. Or, in her case, just spending time with our Lord. That was her greatest joy. She used to love just sitting in the twilight of the church praying. Now, She was still in demand at various festivals, film festivals, and fans would ask for her signing and stuff, but it wasn't really what she was interested in. Now, as I say, she had suffered a stroke later in life, and her mobility was impaired somewhat, and she had to go through the difficulties of really her health deteriorating and regular hospitalizations, and for such an independent woman, this was a real cross. Nevertheless, she carried it with good humor. And even though her eyesight was failing at the end, each time I saw her, she still held that rosary in her hand and prayed its beads. In fact, while I've been doing these shows, I use a pen to write down some of the intentions that people ask for, and it's a pen that she gave me. She knew I was a writer and she wanted to help me, so she gave me this lovely pen, and I still have it with me today. So that was Barbara Shelley. And I still think of her sitting, praying those rosary beads in front of the Blessed Sacrament. On screen, she may have died a vampire, but in real life, a very private life, she died in the arms of the Mother Church, having received the last sacraments and not a stake in sight. More than anyone, she would have enjoyed the irony of that. So you and me have been praying for the repose of Barbara since we started this program, because she was one of the first people I put on the November dead list. So when I read out the name Barbara Shelley, you'll now know I'm speaking about, yes, that Barbara Shelley, film star, but also very devout Catholic. Okay, that's it from the Turley Frequency today. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I hope you'll come back tomorrow for more of the same. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and upon your way, whatever that may be this day. May he be gracious to you, and may the Lord grant you peace this day, his peace, which is beyond all understanding and all the sweeter for that. Listen, have a wonderful Monday. Enjoy it immensely, and we'll speak again tomorrow. Until we do, good night and God bless from London. When Jesus wore, when Jesus wore, oh, when he wore.